Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. And Lord, we just settle our hearts before you. And as Patrick was saying, just all these different things that take place in a day. It really can be overwhelming, and it can just get us thinking in all kinds of ways. Lord, I pray as we sit before you and we hear your word that you would just fill us, that you would show us, you would teach us, Lord, and that we could sit at your feet, receiving your love, your grace, your mercy. And so, Father, be with us this evening. We love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone, we're going to be in John 17, and we're going to start in 13, because I'm going to kind of start in the middle of a chapter. All right. And if you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand, as Bud would love to give you one. All right. This message was originally for some teens, so I'm going to have to translate this into adult. All right? So wish me luck. And it all really started with being asked to do a message on sanctification. And it had been a while since I thought about that word. And so what it got me thinking about was my process people. Who's here a process person? Who's my process people here? Step one, oh, and step two, and step three. Oh, I really love step four because it gets me to step five. I mean, there's some people that love these processes. I am not one of them. Well, I've learned to be. I've learned to be, because I like to be like at step one and immediately to step six. But anybody who knows anything about process, like they look back and it's just like, you know, destruction between one and six. It's like, what's this? What did you do here? And how did that happen? But then, you know, those people who love processes, when we take that concept and we turn it over to, let's go ahead and stand in line at the tag office. Does everybody love that process? Well, I mean, it's an opportunity to love Jesus and love the people next to you in line, right? Well, it's interesting because, you know, I think as a parent, do I love the process of raising adolescent children? No, I don't. And it's wild when I think about, you know, learning to love processes, like the Lord really wants to talk to us about that. And that's, sanctification comes with that thought of process. It comes with a thought of process. It comes with a thought of, hey, you know, if you were to just look at me, I have a process for you in this life. I have a process I want to bless you with. As a matter of fact, I'd love you to even desire the process. What? But we love processes we can touch. Now, processes we cannot touch, it becomes a little scarier, right? Something I can't touch, like patience, the process of patience, the process of loving people, right? That's not always easy. So this evening, I'd like to take a little dive into desiring the process that God has intended for each of us in sanctification. Okay? Cool. So let's go and let's open this up. I'm going to read the verses and then we will jump into the rest of this. Let me see if I can find my place. So it's 17:13 is where we're at. John 17:13. Now, I'm jumping in halfway in because I don't want to keep you here all night. But what we find here is we find Jesus in a beautiful prayer to the Father. What we find is Jesus at the end of this ministry that he's done, going to the cross, and he is just in fervent prayer. fervent prayer for the process that God has the Father has taken him through, the process of where he's at right in that moment, to the process of going to the cross, and the process of him knowing that you would be saved by it. And so we look at this, and he's pouring his heart out. He's speaking to out of all the verses, out of all the chapters, when I begin to see true sanctification and the desire of the process, chapter 17 just hits. It hits good. Because there's a lot of times we think of the word sanctification, and you got to see it over a lifetime. So like in the book of Daniel or in the book of Job, we see the process of sanctification. Now, if you go into the New Testament, sometimes it's hard that you see the word sanctify. You see the word, you know, you see this implied in our theology, and we've come up with this big word, right? But when we look at this, in 13, we're going to read it. It says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, the first thing I love is that a lot of us, when we think of the word sanctification, sanctify meaning to set apart, meaning to be holy as he is holy, right? To be set apart for a specific purpose, as a matter of fact. And then also ification, if you want to break that down, it means the process of making or becoming. So we love the salvation part. We love being saved, right? I've been saved by the grace of God. But now there's this other process. What's going on? So we see that. So now it's because I'll be honest. When I hear the word holy and me in the same context, I get a little scared. I do. You're setting me apart for what? Who are you sitting me next to? I may not like them. And there's going to be a process? This is scary stuff, right? But what Jesus is trying to say, because there is fear in the process sometimes. There's fear of having to grow. There's fear in having to let God in and do what he needs to do with us. And when we get to that place, what he's saying, and this is why I wanted to open with this verse, is he says, but now, and he's coming, you know, to the Father, and he's saying, "And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So right off the bat, as he's talking about the process of going to the cross, as he's talking about the process of loving his people around him, because he's talking about his disciples. He's praying for the disciples. He's you know, asking for himself. He's talking to the Father. And we're going to find out that he's also, at the end of these verses, he's praying for us. And when we see this, he's saying, don't fear the process. He says, I desire to give you joy. It is a joyous process if you will allow it to be. Now, I'm not saying it's happy. I'm saying that he's saying that fear does not have to exist in it. Fear doesn't have to exist in it. He's saying he desires to give you joy in the process, which is great, because as soon as like I dispelled that, I felt a whole lot better, because then I can translate this into English. Okay, here we go. There's a continuous work or process of God in the life of a believer, so that those who have declared by God to be righteous are becoming righteous in their personal conduct. So what happens is we get saved and we're still stuck in this gnarly body. And so the process, he's saying, have joy in the process as I come into you and slowly work in you that your conduct may be different. Okay? And you can have joy in that. So let's go, we're going to hit these other verses here real quick. It says in 14, I have given them your word, and the word has hated, I've given them the word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not, and then 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And 19, sorry, Anne, And for the sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by your truth. So, we have a wonderful concept of sanctification. We have this wonderful thought of Jesus saying, hey, there is this amazing process that gets to take place after I go to the cross, I die, I'm resurrected. The life that I get to bring into the believer's life through my truth, through my word, through my sacrifice, because we know Jesus is the word, the logos. We know he is the power, he is the way, he is the truth. And it's through that that we get to participate and desire the process. And so what's great is tonight, if you're taking notes, I know it's a long intro. If you're taking notes, we can go ahead and look at the three L's of sanctification. One is loyalty. You might say faithfulness, but today we're going to talk about loyalty. Number two is learning. And number three is love. So referencing back to chapter 17 that I just read, the Son desires for this process of being set apart to have a growing relationship with the Father. He's saying, I'm coming to you with this joy. Remember in 13? Like, this is going to be an amazing relationship. It's going to be an amazing process. He is letting us know that he told also his disciples about the process. And it's going to bring them joy, just like it's going to bring us joy. And we find Jesus praying for himself, the disciples, and for us. We see as he prays that he is calling to all of mankind to salvation through the gospel message, but also to set us apart for loyalty, learning, and love. Now, this loyalty piece, I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. He is faithful to take you and separate you out of this world. Inside, the things that you can't touch, the processes you don't understand, the things that need to happen in order to grow with the Lord, he's saying, I'm promising you, I'm setting you apart, I'm taking you out of the world, and I'm setting you somewhere else that you may not see right now, but I have a process for you. Okay, now, Jesus says, I've been loyal to you, Father, to go to the cross. I've been loyal to follow your process. And it's hard for us as we get to enjoy the loyalty of Jesus Christ, as we get to enjoy the loyalty of the Father. Sometimes it's really hard for us to be loyal. As a matter of fact, a lot of people know that I worked in residential care for adolescents for 6 years. And I remember I had a guy who shows up, he goes out on a weekend visit, he comes back, and he's got this sweet tattoo right across his arm. And it said, Loyalty. I was like, what is that? What does your arm say? He said, it says loyal, bro. And I was like, I don't know if he read what the tattoo artist did. His arm said Loyalty, and I started to, like, I'm laughing inside. It's hard for me to keep it in. This guy's going to run around for the rest of his life with Loyalty on his arm. But the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me in that moment. And as I was laughing at the artist who made the mistake, as I'm laughing at the kid who probably had the tattoo done in the basement of his, you know, brother's house by a guy named Spider. I'm just saying. Right? I don't know. It's just a guess. How loyal am I to the Father? Does my spirit look like Loyalty? I mean, honestly, if we were basing my spiritual prowess and grace, if my spiritual, like a lot of times my spiritual walk and my spiritual loyalty, if my loyalty was doing that tattoo, it would probably look a whole lot worse. It would probably look like a third grader had drawn whatever. It would probably look like scribbles. It's very convicting because it reminded me about the process. Do I desire the process? Do I desire to be loyal to the Lord and what He's done and what He's accomplished and the process that He desires for me? And so it really hits. It hits home. It hit home with me anyway while he was, you know, taking me out to the woodshed on that. And so it really is the problem with loyalty. Most of us have issues with this part of the process because all of us naturally are just unfaithful and disloyal. So how do I know that? How do I know, you know, that I'm like that? Well, there's a drama that consumes most of us, a disloyalty that consumes us in our lives in relation to how loyal or disloyal we feel the people are around us. If you come from where I come from, loyalty is everything. And any deviation of that means that you ain't cool no more. Could you imagine if that was the Father's concept of us? If that's how he measured his loyalty, it'd be a sad deal. So Jesus walks through this process with us to the cross to provide a place of trust and safety. This is what his loyalty does for us. I'm not saying that's what our loyalty does for anybody else. I'm saying that why he wants us to desire the process and he wants us to desire the process of loyalty is because he wants to provide a trusting place, a safe space that provides a way to empower a fantastic process. We cannot be loyal outside of the work of the Spirit. We just can't. And so, in this case, we cannot produce our own trust or our own safety, when we try, there's only anxiety and depression and continual letdown. We just can't do it. This was my point to the kids, because in kid land, anytime I hear any kids talk about drama, oh, they stabbed me in the back. Like, you know, and then the next day they're like, yeah, we're friends again. And then the next day they stab me in the back. I'm never talking to them again. And all my friends hate them. And then we'll come home and I'll be like, why are you on the phone with so-and-so? I thought you hate them. Oh, we made up. This is how we are with the Lord. So, like, that's 80% of our issue is, like, we're judging everybody, thinking, are you loyal? Are you loyal? Are you not? No, man. Get your eyes to a place to desire the process of, am I loyal? What am I doing, Lord? Show me. Change my heart. So, not only is he trying to, is he setting you apart for this process of trust and safety, without anxiety or depression, trying to get you out of this place, get your focus in the right spot, get your focus on this wonderful process he has. Because really, he's setting you apart to be his family, right? Remember Hebrews 2:11? So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. He's loyal to you like family. Like, I'll be honest, some of you probably come from places that your family was not loyal. But our Father is promising you a place of safety and trust in this loyalty that maybe you've never experienced. And he's saying, let me show you. It's pretty amazing. So the process that provides trust and safety brings us to our second point. Have you ever tried to learn when you don't feel safe? Or you can't trust? There's too many things going on, like you can't learn. Learn is my second point. When we desire the process and we feel safe and we trust, all of a sudden we get to learn. We're learning. There's nothing like learning from the Father. He's pouring into us. We get to, you know, we've got joy about things even when things are tumultuous. And so he even says, in verse 17, make them holy by your truth. And this is NLT. This is me going back to rephrase this. Make them holy by your truth. Set them apart by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Learning, teaching, training. He is there to for you to desire that process. He's created a safe space. He desires for you to learn. Now, guys, I know since you can't see Jesus, sometimes you feel like, man, if I was just there, if I was one of the disciples, like I could gain more, like I could touch it more, I could enjoy the process more. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus has never changed. He was teaching then and he's teaching now, and we just have to desire the process so we can hear him. He's still standing. He's not even to the side of us. He's inside of us by his spirit and he's teaching. And we just need a desire to learn. This process is just so amazing. I just, when I got an opportunity to sit and really think about it, I just love the concept, the process of learning from the Father. And when we get to sit and learn from the Father, we also get to learn from others. But again, that's a big problem for me in the process, right? Learning from others. Or even sometimes when God's word speaks and we're so arrogant and prideful, you know, he says black, I say white. He says run, I say slow down. You know, if somebody could say, hey, don't drink that poison, I'd be like, why? I know, you want to drink it. Let me drink that down so you can't have any. This is like Jesus walked and learned from the Father through God's word. And because Jesus is the Word of God, he also shared who he was through words with his disciples and now with us through this, right? He's still teaching. He's still sharing. He hasn't stopped. And by the way, if we were there hanging out with the disciples, we would look just as dumb as they did. Okay? You wouldn't be like the cool one. You wouldn't be the cool disciple. I would. Joking. I would not. So, he has been answering our questions, guys, since before time began. He has been teaching us, answering questions. And man, he's super pumped about whatever the question is right now that's on your heart, wherever you need to go next, how whatever process that he is spiritually trying to sharpen in you. I can promise you, he has the answers and he is ready. He is ready to teach. See, Jesus doesn't change. We do. And that's the point. He wants to change us. He wants to show us. So, Jesus desires to set us apart, to teach me, teach you the things you want to know and the things you didn't even realize you want to know. Jesus ever teach you something you didn't even realize you wanted to know? You're like, dang, thank you, Jesus. It happens all the time. Like if we're open to it, it's like, oh man, I didn't even want to hear that. But thank you, Jesus. This is desiring the process. When we're open to the process of being taught, we will not only be grateful to his loyalty to teach us these profound life-altering truths, but we begin to see that this desire of loyalty and loving, this learning ultimately comes from his love, his deep love for us. And that's my third point tonight. Love. The process that he goes through to show us his love is just so deep, so great. And it really is the catalyst in all this that makes us grow. It's his love for us that begot all these other things. As we grow in his love and the grace of Jesus Christ, we often assume that love means, well, I did this and the kids looked at me crazy. And so I'm going to say it differently to the adults, but I'll tell you what I said to the kids so you can laugh at me. I told the kids oftentimes we think God's love means he wants to give us snuggles. He wants to give us cuddles. They're just like, dude, this guy needs to go back to the old folks home. But I'm going to share it this way with you guys. Sometimes, and a lot of times, when we're, you know, in a process with the Lord and we're pushing up against it, we're asking Him to love the liability of sin in us. Like, we want Him to love our liability. And so, you know, this is the problem, is as we look at Jesus and what He does with His love, you know, a lot of times you're like, man, you know, Jesus, like, I know I'm doing this, but, like, could you just, like, look past it? Could you just look past the liability of it? And I'm just as guilty as any. It's easier to minimize. It's easier to say, oh, well, it's not that bad. But if it's on the forefront of your mind, like as soon as you get in your word or as soon as you get in prayer, that you can't expect Him to love the liability. He loves the what? He loves the sinner, not the sin. So I expected Him, you know, I've expected Him to accept my sin and my liability many a times. It's nothing like sharing the gospel in a trap house when you're three days into a bender, you know? I remember going, I'd be high on drugs, and I remember like things like Jesus things. Back then they were just Jesus things, you know, and I'd share them after, you know, with my other junkie friends, right? Like, man, like, what are we doing here? Like, do you know God loves you? And like, because, you know, you're strung out. And like, how is that desiring the process? How's His love going to use that? And like, it came back down to a big newsflash for me. The process of sanctification is used and has been used to show me the mistakes that I have abundantly had, and to help me realize that my desire for the process of using drugs, that was the wrong place. His love does not dwell there. His love desired to pull me out, set me apart, take me away, and become, He wanted to say, hey, look at my loyalty. Look at, I want to show you. Look at what I got to offer you. Like, get out of there. I can't, like, I'm going to love you, but like, I got to pull you over here. Like, I can't love down, like, that place is dark and evil, and it's nothing but destruction. And like, I know not everybody here is a drug addict, so just, you know, equate that with whatever process or whatever liability right now lays in your heart and in your life. So when we talk about the process of love, we know that the love that is afforded us through Christ is a sacrificial love. God loves us and desired it so much to reconcile all of us, all of creation, back to Himself at a cost. He took all of mankind's sin upon Himself. The love part of the process that sets us apart does not just sacrifice for us. It desires. It's not like, oh, well, man, I've got to sacrifice for these fools. You know, they're just messing up and somebody's got to do it. No, it's a desire. It's the desire of our Creator's heart to go to the cross. Wow, dude, that just blows me away. It blows me away to think about it. And His love for us and how great it is and the sacrifice, it was a desire. That process was a desire. His love creates a desire to sacrifice, forgive, to not judge others, and to not enjoy sin. So this process, this love, it's like cyclical, right? Our desire to control our conduct and our heart should no longer be our own, because the love that flows from it should produce a conduct that shows the love of God. So, again, cyclical, this love demands loyalty. And that loyalty, where there's loyalty, there's trust and safety. Where there's trust and safety, we get to learn and we get to grow. And where we learn and grow, that's, well, where we love, and where we love, we desire. And where we desire, we trust. It's just on and on we go. So application, What do we do with this? How can we do this? I kind of alluded to all this during my message here. But I do think there's a few things that we could look at. With loyalty, we need to trust the process. He has proved his loyalty through his son, so we don't need to look for it in people around us. Guys, if there's anybody that you are putting way too many expectations on right now in your life, that you have this like expectation where you're just like, your life is contingent on them meeting that expectation, stop it. Stop it. It's unloving. Like, if there's anybody that you're putting an expectation on, like their loyalty is like going to make you or break you as a believer on Jesus Christ, stop it. Or if you catch yourself, oh, they were unloyal. I knew it all along. Then, you know, get your eyes off of it and back to the Lord, right? Where's my loyalty? Lord, you are loyal, and I take great joy in that. Desire the process. 1 Thessalonians, I love this, especially people, like, when I talk to the kids, you know, we all know that their limbic system is growing faster, which is their emotional brain is growing faster than their rational brain. And so loyalty, like, is a very emotional thing for them, so they can't rationalize a lot of times, like, what's going on back and forth. That's why they're friends one minute and enemies the next. But for us, we have God's promises that are set in stone. As adults, we should be able to rationalize and say, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes." So again, he's saying, I'm setting you apart for all this good stuff to desire the process, but this is what he says, and this is a promise. God will make this happen. That's his words. That's not my words. He said, God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Another word, loyal. So now, just the application of growing and learning. We learn he does this through his word and through his spirit. But I'm gonna just challenge you guys a little bit here tonight. A lot of times we like to look at his word, and we don't check with the spirit inside of us. And sometimes we check with the spirit, but we don't match it up to the word, or at least we think we're checking with the spirit. It reminds me of the old Reese's peanut butter cups, the chocolate and the peanut butter, right? Like, you have to engage them together, right? You got to engage them together. And the reason is this, is because our flesh is wicked, and we need that pairing of God's word, because we have a fleshy brain. And it's training our brain while the spirit is like, yeah, it empowers that and changes the mind and the heart. And you have to have them moving together. You can't do one without the other. And so if you're just reading the word and you're not like, hey, Lord, like, what do you got? Like, what's in there for me? What do you got to say? Or if you're just like, hey, Lord, what do you got to say? And you're willy-nilly and like, just, you're not taking time to focus on his word to, you know, retrain that brain, you're going to have issues. There's going to be problems. You're not going to desire the process. It's going to be pretty unpleasant. So lastly, love. The application of love, the desire to love like he loves, is not easy. And this love, guys, to desire and love like he loves, is going to cost you things. As a matter of fact, one of the things that convicts me the most is that if I'm loving and I'm going out and I'm trying to desire the process, if I'm really desiring the process, if I'm reading my word, if I'm locked into the Holy Spirit, somehow it's going to cost me something. And that's okay. That's how you know it's working. Especially when he gives you the heart, because that's what it'll be. Your heart will sing, yes, whatever it costs me, let's go. Let's go, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to desire the process. Let's go. So what is it? Is it costing you anything? Is your walk costing you anything? It has to somehow. And for us, for all of us, it's different. I'm not trying to condemn anyone because they're like, oh boy, like now he's really got me in my head. No, it's a process. Again, like he gets that we're broken. He gets that we get off track. He gets that we're just wretched. But he says, like, man, I know you can't see all this, but I did this for you. I'm loyal for you. I want to teach you, and I love you so much. Search your heart. Ask yourself. Ask yourself these things. Am I desiring the process, or is my walk just stagnant? Am I desiring the process? The love of a God that is so immense in a lost and dying world has given us the truth of our Lord's desire. What beautiful, like, just, it's such a beautiful love testimony of who he is. His love, the Lord's desire to share this process of loyalty, learning, and love, to bless us and bring us joy instead of the pains of our choices. When suffering the consequences of earthly desires, like, Jesus did not come to save us, not just come to save us, he did come to save us, but he also came to sanctify us, set us apart, to grow our hearts, to like love us, not as sinners. Like he loves us as sinners, but like he wants to keep on working until that day we see him and he completes the work and we're glorified with him. To put us in his family, that he might share the precious truths of all things in exchange for hearts that desire this process, a desire to be taken out of this world and set apart into this world and into eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the process. We thank you for believers, Lord, that you made us and we fell. But your desire is to save us. But not even, it doesn't stop there. Your desire for us to grow and know you and the truths that you want to share, not just, they don't end here either. Our bodies will pass away and we'll get to just this eternal discovery and exploration with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, help us desire the process as we go out this week. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.